All right, it's 9:35 a.m. I'd like to start the Health Sciences Committee meeting. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Angela, would you please take roll? Here.
Here.
Regent Brager.
Here.
Here. You do have a quorum.
Thank you. At this point, we will take any public comment. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? Seeing none, is there any public comment at Great Basin? Is there any public comment in Reno? I don't even know if they're on. All right, and for those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 961-6251-7764, passcode 555555. All right. With that, we will move forward to our minutes. The committee will consider approval of the minutes from the December 16th, 2024 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved by Regent Brager.
Second.
Okay, I have a...
Second by Regent Del Carlo.
I have a motion by Regent Brager. I have a second by Regent Del Carlo. All of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Okay, I have a chair's report. I wanted to just tell everyone what we're doing is we're working on collaboration, and we're working on making sure that the vital relationships that we have in our community are staying vital, that they are healthy, and that they are moving forward in a positive way. And I think that that's very important. In addition to that, we think it's very important to make sure that we work more like a system, and we continue to try to work together, and we're going to have a couple presentations today, and one of them in particular is going to really talk about how we can do so much as a system. So I'd like to continue to move the needle. We have some great presentations today, and we will continue to have presentations with some meat on them, and if you have any suggestions, anything you'd like for me to bring forth, I'm happy to do so. So thank you very much. All right, moving forward, we'll have item number 4. We have the ENSHE Health Sciences Update. Dr. Marcia Turner, Associate Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences, will provide an update on health science-related matters concerning the 83rd session of the Nevada Legislature. Dr. Turner may also provide information on other general health science developments. Thank you very much. Dr. Turner.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. So one quick thing related to the agenda item. Because there's going to be a bigger, broader legislative update tomorrow, I'm not going to cover legislative things, but I am going to cover other general things that relate directly to the partnership discussion that you were just talking about. So one of the things that kind of crosses over in the legislative stuff and what's happening more from a government reality of our world right now, of our country, of all the stuff that's going on the federal level and how that affects the state and how that affects us as the state schools, especially the medical schools. One of the things that we have always had and we've always worked really hard to develop and nurture and maintain is a really strong relationship with the State Department of Health and Human Services. And one thing that's happened that the governor has proposed from his State of the State speech, the Department of Health and Human Services is run by a gentleman by the name of Richard Whitley, and he is an excellent public servant. He's really so smart in his craft. He's a great administrator, and he's been a really great partner to ENSHE for years and years. And he has someone that he has brought in to run the Medicaid and more of the business sides of the department, and that's a lady named Stacy Weeks, and she is also just top-notch. And so the Department of Health and Human Services is one of the biggest departments in the state. And there's all the service side, but then there's a lot of business side. Like, imagine running Medicaid. It's like owning an insurance company. And so there's a lot of other business sides to their mission. And as the state entity, they are the primary intermediary with the federal government. And so there's different federal programs. And this retrospectively, there's a lot of federal programs that have been in existence for a long time, and each state has to be really nimble and proactive in trying to optimize and maximize the federal funding, and they've done a really good job of this. And so I think what the governor did was he recognized that there's more we can do, and those two missions are intertwined, but they're separate enough that they deserve their own realm. And so he is creating this special new division. So he's breaking the department basically into two. And so there will be the Nevada Health Authority. And so Stacy Weeks is going to be managing that stuff going forward, and then Richard Whitlow will be managing the traditional health and human services things. We are lucky to have them both there, and they're great partners of ours. And an example of why we're so lucky that, and kudos to the governor for having the foresight to do this just in general to optimize things, because now with the uncertainty of what's going on at the federal government, we are in a structurally good place as Nevada and us as a sister agency to be able to be ready for whatever comes our way. We don't know what's going to come our way. The discussions around federally what's going to happen to Medicaid, there's the notion that Medicaid's good, no one's going to touch Medicaid, but then at the same time, the dollar figure of the cuts that are being envisioned, if they play out, they may need to dip into Medicaid. So there's all kinds of discussion of what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, no one knows. But in a recent legislative hearing, Stacy and Richard provided the legislature with a really good overview of what could happen, what couldn't happen, how we shouldn't overcorrect, but that we're ready. And so that's something I just put on your radar, that going forward, just know that our folks are looking at it. We have really good partners at the state. So whatever does happen, we're on our toes, not on our heels. So that's one thing as far as the partnerships. And that's one of the beauties of living in a small state where we're all, you know, all together. And so, and being a sister state agency. So it's just great that we have those relationships. So FYI, we'll keep our eye on the ball and we'll keep you posted as things go forward. Another great opportunity of partnership, I want to just kind of give a little primer before we get into the next topic. We have really amazing dental programs at three of our different schools. So UNLV has the School of Dental Medicine, and TMCC and CSN have dental hygiene and dental assisting programs, and I'm probably missing something, and I will let them go into more of the details. But we have had a great opportunity, and I really want to give kudos to these leaders from the provost to the deans, where there were some opportunities where both schools had something to give and something to gain, and you'll hear more about the details of this new partnership. But it's a really neat example of the benefit of being in a system. And so CSN and UNLV have been working on some specific things that you'll hear about today. But we've also looped in TMCC, because they might not be involved in the specific stuff that's going on right now, but they may benefit. They may also have something to gain. And so Chancellor Charlton asked me to make sure they were a part of the loop. And so in this moment in time where these guys organically came together to be partners, because they can share and they can both draft off each other and support each other and do what's best for their students and make sure their faculty have the tools they need to get their jobs done. And what they're talking about isn't going to happen overnight, so it's going to take a while. But the whole idea of coming together is worth noting. And I've been a system watcher for a long time, and this is really neat that this has just come together in an organic way, in a very organized way, and that we've also brought TMCC to the table, too. So one of the things we did, just noticing that there's something special about this beyond just the task at hand, we went ahead and I convened a meeting with the provost, and then with the deans, and then their support, their direct reports in these programs. And we just had a meeting to get everybody together, to talk about what's going on, and to make sure everybody knows one another. Because everybody's kind of heard each other, and they maybe have met each other and worked together on certain things, or they're aware of the different programs. But, you know, Reno's so far, so, you know, there's sort of, you know about it, but to what degree do you think about it as, like, in a partnership way of how can we really plan together and think about how we can optimize things together. So we had this just one meeting to get everybody together, and they've decided to keep meeting. So we're going to have another meeting in April, on April 10th. And it's just, we're calling it the Nevada Dental Coalition, the NCHI Dental Coalition. And it's just a group of folks that are getting together that are just have a common mission, And, you know, who knows how, you know, maybe they'll just meet quarterly, but at least they'll know who to call if they need something or if they think of an idea or something bubbles up in their industry that it will also affect the other folks. So I just want to give them a high five and kudos that it's a really neat example of exactly what you were talking about. So with that, that's my update for today.
Thank you, Dr. Turner. Well, what I love about coalitions and meeting is that you're out of your silos and you're actually working together and you're not repeating things and you can, I don't know, there's something about that camaraderie that is very important, and I'm really happy to hear that. So does anyone else have any comments or questions for Dr. Turner, Regent Del Carlo?
I just have a comment. I was really happy to see UNLV as the big brother take care of the little brother, CSN, and work together, because one feeds the other. I mean, we can't all do this alone. Oh, why did I... You know, there's a big one. You can't get a dental degree at CSN, but you sure can get out those dental hygienists and the X-ray techs and all the ones that need to be there in that dentist's office. So, nice. It's nice to see people collaborate, and I think everybody knows I'm all about systemness. And we're stronger together.
And having one big happy family.
Yeah. Well, that's the hardest part in a family. Thank you.
But we stick together, so thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, great. Thank you very much, Dr. Turner. All right. Our next item, excuse me, the workforce gap analysis and connection to health sciences work. We have our Dr. Daniel Archer, who will provide an update on the workforce gap analysis being conducted by the University Center for Economic Development at UNR. The analysis will evaluate the alignment between higher education programs, graduate output, and labor market demands. I'm not going to continue with the item. Everyone can read it for themselves. But Dr. Archer, please go ahead and give us this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Daniel Archer, Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs. And this is just kind of a preview or heads up, more or less, as this will be really brief. But in the Workforce Committee, we are working with the UNR Center for Business and Economic Development. They are working on conducting a workforce gap analysis here, and they're looking at in-demand occupations in Nevada. They're also looking at our academic programs and our completion numbers for our academic programs. And the focus is really what programs are not producing enough completers. The other piece in this is what programs are producing too many completers. Are we sort of overproducing in certain areas here? And so looking at the gap piece in particular, I would anticipate there probably will be programs like nursing that'll be on there that we already know about that our institutions are actively working on. But there could also be some other health-related programs that are a little bit more under the radar that are not as highly emphasized here. And so the timeline on this is the report should be done at the end of the month. So we will certainly be sure to share any health-related programs that show up in that gap analysis. I think that can provide some really good discussions and directions and potential action items down the road here. And so, again, this is just to provide a heads up and just to make sure that everyone has this on the radar.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Archer? Okay. Seeing none, thank you so much, Daniel. Okay, I'm excited for this presentation. The UNLV School of Dental Medicine, and CSN Dental Sciences are going to make a presentation. I have Dr. James Ma, UNLV School of Dental Medicine Dean, and Dr. Janice Glasper, CSN Engelstad School of Health Sciences Dean. And I'm excited to hear about your collaborative partnership, so please come up and share with us.
Good morning. My name is Janice Glasper. I'm the Dean for the Engelstad School of Health Sciences at the College of Southern Nevada. And Dr. Ma and I are so excited to be here and to be a part of this systems collaboration and partnership. We've been working on this for quite some time. We identified a specific project manager to kind of oversee the partnership and collaboration, and he's already been working with the entities at CSN and identifying the needs for equipment, resources, staff, employees in those potential areas to support the needs for dental workforce in our local communities and beyond. It's a collaborative partnership, as I said, with between UNLV and CSN. We'd love to have TMCC join us if you know that would be an interest for them, or we can support them in any kind of way. It's increase the specific goal and objectives of this partnership are, number one, to increase the workforce, including dental hygienists, assistants, and dentists in our local community. I'm not sure if you're aware, you probably are. There's a huge gap in what is being produced or what's being forced into the field and what the needs are. Nevada continues to grow, southern and northern Nevada, and the need for dentists, hygienists, and assistants is phenomenal in our local community. So that's one goal. The other goal is that, as you said, we can accomplish more when we work together. UNLV is our dental school of medicine, and CSN provides the ancillary support in dentistry, the hygienists and the assistants. But CSN also has a dental faculty practice. So our learners receive clinical experiences in our dental faculty practice, but not enough to really give them that hands-on skill development. And that's where UNLV comes in to support us with that. They have a larger patient base, so our learners can obtain access to their patient base in addition to what we already have through the dental faculty practice, which is pretty large. We have about 40,000 patient files in our dental faculty practice at CSN. So they have access to them, and then through UNLV, their patient base. We also have a partnership at CSN with the Department of Health and Human Services. And so we provide dental services to that their patient base or employees or various groups underneath their umbrella. And so our learners have access to those patients as well. Did you want to mention?
Good morning, everybody. I'm James Maugh, J-A-M-E-S-M-A-H for the record. I serve as the Dean of UNLV School of Dental Medicine. Chair Goodman, Regents, and colleagues, I'm more than delighted to be here today to talk about what we've been working on for quite some time. And I think we have quite a plan to share with you today. It's about student enrichment and opportunity. It's about synergy and leverage of a collaboration. And moreover, it's about serving the needs of our growing population in Nevada. Herein, we have a general structure of 7 goals that will take turns describing what we hope to do in this collaboration, understanding that we're fairly early on, but we already have some steps that we've taken on already to get going. But we have this vision that is multi-step, and I think after you see these 7 goals, you'll see that where we're headed.
I talked a little bit already about student retention and success in our hygiene and assisting programs. Through this collaboration, as I said, they'll have additional exposure to a larger patient base, which they absolutely need, different patient types with different levels or layers of dental issues and challenges, which helps them to develop their skills, build their knowledge and skills so that they can become hygienists and assistants out there in our local community. Increases retention and graduation rates as a result of this exposure to the additional patient base. We have more patients for them to practice their skills on, develop their skills on. The educational experience, the collaboration between UNLV and CSN increases best practices in dental hygiene and assisting for our side so that our learners are using the most up-to-date equipment and technology, equipment and resources that they would see actually out there in the local community. So through this partnership, we hope to expand, increase the technology and resources we have available at CSN to assist our learners with having top-notch skills when they graduate from our hygiene and assisting program. So it's not like they go to become employed and then it's like they're exposed to equipment that they've never seen before. So with this partnership, we hope to identify and be able to purchase equipment and resources to increase or enhance the learning and skill development of our learners.
From the perspective of our students, it's about workforce readiness. During their training, we want them to experience what it's like to work as a team, to involve the dental hygienist, dental assistants, so when they graduate and they go into private practice, they're better prepared to treat the public. And also working together, we understand that, you know, location of CSN is in a different area where we can also recruit a different demographic for some of our advanced education programs as well. This ties in well to the next step. It's about resource sharing. I think everybody knows there's a tremendous shortage of faculty across the nation in all disciplines. In dentistry, it's exceedingly worse. There's some professions that remain a mystery. For example, after the pandemic, 20% of all dental hygienists did not return to the workforce with no explanation. We simply at a loss to explain why, but nevertheless, we're feeling the ramifications of some of those things. All the while, the cost of conducting business keep going up. As one example of resource sharing, we need a common electronic health record. It's the common record, so if you go to one clinic facility, you don't have to fill out all your health history, all your immunizations over and over again. So we're very much looking at a piece of software that allows us to do it. That's the good news. The bad news is the software is in the hundreds of thousands to $1 million. So if we had that, it would behoove us to share that resource so we can all capitalize on that. And we're very much in discussions to be able to get that software so that we can then share patient records. So if the CSN dental hygiene students needs a specific category of patient to finish a graduation requirement, we can look in our roster of patients and say, well, this is, if you need a type 2 or type 3, we have it there. So that is an early step to communicate the patient needs, to better serve the patient, and also to help the students finish their graduation competencies.
In addition to that, utilizing that electronic health record resource includes the dental faculty practice at CSN. So not only does UNLV have access to it to put in the patient information, CSN has access to it as well through this partnership or systems partnership. The dental hygiene, dental assisting, and DFP all have access to this electronic health record. So then patient information that goes into that record is shared across all of those entities. So we're not having to search for records. We're not having to identify patients on our own that can support the needs of our hygiene and assist. They just go in, this is a level 1, this is a level 2, based on what the needs are for that learner. So we all have access to this electronic health record. So even though UNLV is over there, CSN is over here, we can go into this record and identify, pull up patients that are needed or necessary for either area, which is a plus for us.
The opportunity for our faculty and residents to also provide services over at the CSN campus is really important. We also have a demographic that's very sensitive to distance travel for healthcare. Unbelievably, if we're the only location located where we are in Chatham Lane campus, some individuals simply will not come because of the distance. So the more sites and the closer we are to provide the specialty services, in particular things like pediatric dentistry, orthodontics, are going to be key as we expand our services with CSN.
In addition, the dental faculty practice at CSN is also, we're entertaining conversations and communications about bringing over the third year resident dentists from UNLV so that they can have access and exposure in our dental faculty practice to various patients. The dental faculty practice prides itself on low-cost dental care, but quality dental care. And so this partnership will allow us to bring over their third-year residents from UNLV's dental school into our dental faculty practice to enhance their skills and patient support as well.
Along with that, there are certain one-of-a-kind services that we would love to offer. One is an urgent care clinic. That would be fantastic, you know, for the accidents and things that happen in the middle of the night. People need a place to go and a number to call. The other ones that are very unique are a clinic for cleft palate craniofacial clinics. And indeed, at this time, we're working on getting some funding for that as well. But those are unique opportunities that present in the diversity of the population that we have in Southern Nevada. Regarding increased community programs, you know, I think this is also about leverage what we can do. There's events where there's a need for dental assistants and dental hygienists. We have enough dentists, but we need ancillary staff and vice versa. By working together, we can do more and we can treat more patients. And this is happening really fast. There's a number of opportunities. As of recent, different groups have reached out to me as far as, hey, what can we do to participate with, you know, your collaboration so we can better serve people? Just, you know, as an example, I, through an anonymous donor, in the recent couple weeks, pledged $100,000 in free orthodontic care. Dean Glasper, wouldn't it be great if your students could tell patients, hey, I think I have a place where you could get your orthodontics at no cost? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Absolutely.
That's the kind of collaboration that we're aiming for when it comes to increased community engagement. The next area is the new programs. As one example is the Dental Lab Tech Program. And this is looking a little bit at current events and looking at our vulnerabilities that we have in healthcare. The many of you may or may not know that 40% to 60% of all dental lab work is now done overseas. And with current trade issues, we may come into a problem where we have a population walking around with gap teeth and bad teeth because we can't get dental lab work. So we really need to look ahead and look and see if we can train dental lab technicians within our system so they stay in Nevada and we can have quality dental labs. These are crowns, bridges, veneers, all that are generally, a lot of them are made overseas. And that's a vulnerability that I think we should have some foresight to look at and have a plan to react to.
We recently at CSN just lost our dental lab technician, the person who is responsible for making those items Dr. Ma just mentioned, and trying to find another one locally. We had to have him come back. Try not to say this in front of Dr. McCoy. No. We had to have him come back as like part-time in order to meet the needs of the dental faculty practice at CSN for dentures, implants, those things that they make that replace the teeth in your mouth. And so we don't have a school that produces these professionals, and I'm not sure that there are a lot of them across the United States. We're struggling. So we talked about maybe we need to develop a program at CSN to produce these professionals. And I want to say also, when we talk about this systems collaboration, it's not just between Dr. Ma and I. It's also a collaboration between our local community of employers who've come in and said, you know, I can offer some scholarships, I can offer some grant funding to support that need or this need. So it's with our local employers. In addition to that, it's also with some of our providers, or I'm sorry, not providers, but vendors, like Pacific Dental, Shine, those organizations where we order our supplies and resources from. They have stepped in and said, you know what can we do? We can assist with, you know, maybe offering some scholarships or, you know, some resources for your learners to use. So it's a system collaboration, not just between us, but between us and our local community partners.
On the plans for tomorrow, we're actually already have done some of it. Last fall, we already worked together to submit for an equipment grant. And unfortunately, that wasn't funded, but that's an example of how working together we can have a stronger application to be eligible for many of these awards that exist for oral health care. Our planning to date, we've actually looked at it from, you know, we've done our homework, in essence, looked at the dental workforce shortage, and we're not alone. If you look across the entire healthcare spectrum, there's tremendous shortage everywhere. People are looking at different solutions. We know that there's a number of solutions, including something called the Dental Compact, which is a collaboration agreement between states to allow license portability. There's other models, perhaps, to suggest to automatically license foreign dentists. And there's ones that essentially remove higher education out of the picture, returning to a more of a classic cottage industry apprenticeship model where a person goes into an office and after a certain number of hours and some basic didactic, they get their licensure. So we know that the entire country is looking at models. But out of this, we've done our homework to make sure that whatever we do is right for Nevada. Obviously, we have talked to a number of people. I think one important part is to have community involvement. We've held a couple town hall meetings where we've invited all stakeholders to come and talk about these very things. We've been transparent throughout, and this is what we want to do. These are the problems posed, and these are solutions that other people have proposed. Let's get our heads together and talk about what is right for, again, right for Nevada.
We've already got an MOU in place to support this partnership or collaboration between UNLV and CSN. We want to kind of revise it, update our MOU to add additional partners as they come on board. We are continuing to pursue grant funding opportunities through our employers, organizations that support dental services, hygiene assisting dentistry. So looking for grant funding opportunities to support equipment needs, resource needs, replacements, revisions, updates, equipment. It ages and technology keeps on moving. So we want our learners to be exposed to the most up-to-date equipment that they can be exposed to so that their skills are top-notch when they graduate.
Speaking of latest equipment, we made a over $1 million investment in our digital dentistry effort. We have everything from 3D imaging, intraoral scanners, 3D printers, jaw motion trackers, a number of pieces of high technology. And we're looking forward to sharing that investment with students across the board so they can gain from those dollars spent.
We recently, as far as equipment goes, were able to secure a grant funding opportunity for our dental hygiene and dental faculty practice to replace some very, very old and outdated dental chairs. And it was quite an expense. And so thank God it was grant funded and not had to be funded specifically by INSHI. We pursued it, and we just didn't give up on it. And eventually said, okay, stop bothering us. You can have it. So anyway, we were able to replace our dental chairs, which were at the time more than 10 years old. And so our learners now have access to a high-quality equipment in the hygiene clinic and in our dental faculty practice. We just recently received funding to purchase a wheelchair lift for our dental hygiene program for those patients who are confined to a wheelchair and can't, you know, just get in that chair and lay back and, you know, do whatever the dentist wants them to do. So this wheelchair lift allows them to sit in their wheelchair, and it does to the wheelchair what the typical dental chair would do to a regular patient who's able to ambulate. So the resources are expensive for these programs, but working together, we've been able to identify resources and grant opportunities to support both of our institutional needs for resources and technology software.
And I kind of want to chime in on the cost of operations. We're unique in the sense that all our patients need a lot of equipment. A dental chair alone, you think about, is the cost of a car with all the infrastructure behind it. So we have to at some point be prepared for, you know, when these pieces of equipment get outdated or break down. And along that, you know, we talk about things like operating reserves and so forth. So we know it's eventually going to happen. And when it happens, our costs are high. Our simulation lab, when we remodel it, was approximately $1.5 million. So, you know, we can, from year to year, for operating, need to be very careful. We have to be very planned and approach it in a very measured way.
And finally, our last thing that I want to talk about is the collaboration again between CSN and UNLV. We are identifying a specific group of individuals to kind of come together as we continue this collaboration and discussions. That includes the meeting that Dr. Turner mentioned in her conversation earlier. She's become a part of that group, and so it includes individuals from the UNLV, CSN side, as well as local community representatives from various employers. So we're looking forward to moving this partnership, this systems collaboration, forward and identifying the needs for both entities or both our NSHE institutions, and identifying the needs for all of their learners, not just hygiene and assisting, but the dentists as well.
In closing, I just want to say throughout this process, I've done a lot of introspection, and I've been at UNLV for now 20 years. 20 years ago, the greater Las Vegas population was under 1.4 million. We look today, it's under 3 million. Yet our numbers of our students graduating have been the same. I'll leave you on that thought. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that very informative presentation. I know we have some questions, so Regent Brager.
Thank you. Susan Brager for the record. Thank you for a great presentation and working together. It should make a very big difference. A couple questions is, either campus, how many faculty are you missing? I mean, is there, I know you don't like that question, but.
No, I actually appreciate the question because I want to be very clear.
Because you can only teach so many people if you don't have the people to teach.
This
so
is
I guess
correct.
I'm curious.
And that is
that.
A struggle for CSN to identify qualified, educated faculty to teach in our hygiene and assisting programs. And that is because the requirements for those individuals are dictated to us by CODA, the Commission on Dental Education accreditation. So that's their accrediting agency, which is a top-notch accrediting agency, but it dictates exactly what that faculty or those faculty members must have and demonstrate in order to teach in our academic programs. So finding those individuals that want to come and teach during the day with the salary that NSHE offers is difficult. It's a struggle. We have had several, I hate to say failed searches, but that's the truth, in identifying just a faculty member to teach in hygiene. It's been a struggle.
For the School of Dental Medicine, that number is 63 vacancies at this point. It's a complex problem with workforce issues, rate of compensation, and also within some of our internal hiring procedures. And, you know, this is a thick topic, and if I could maybe make an appeal at some point, we may need some guidance with trying to streamline a process to get people hired quicker. We often have searches, positions that are offered, but by the time we can respond, because of the marketplace, they've found a position elsewhere. So there's a number of issues, but I think systematically, if we take things apart, we can address this issue collectively.
Okay, and just a couple more, Chair, if that's okay with you. In regards to the, there's a dental association, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So do you go before them I know you probably do. I'm just kind of rhetorical, I guess, question. Since they need new dentists also, you know, how many, let me start backwards a little bit. How many of ours that graduate, and I've gone to, I think, since I've been here, each of your graduations, how many dentists leave and do not stay here? And how could we find out, and maybe not today, but maybe as another agenda item through the chair, how do we encourage them to stay here if a large number are leaving to either continue education or take a job they've been offered somewhere else? And if that's too much for now, I appreciate it. I don't mind a non-answer because I can ask Chair Goodman to bring that back as an item so that you could be well prepared for that.
My ballpark estimate is about 50% of graduating dentists stay in Nevada. We can get more specific numbers for an upcoming update. Okay. But, yes, we've been trying to work all around with the Nevada Dental Association, even the local constituents and the American Dental Association to see if we can help with retention in Nevada.
Okay. Last question, even though I have more, but I don't want to belabor things, and I can always...
Let me also respond to
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. As far as hygiene and assisting, It's about the same. 50% of them we lose to other states. However, with this partnership and working with the Nevada Dental Association, we have individuals who have been along these committee on these committee meetings with us to provide their input and support. So, and then also with the employers offering assistance with scholarships and funding opportunities and equipment and resources, we're hoping that with their involvement in this collaboration and partnership that will increase our retention of these employees in the state of Nevada.
Okay.
So we lose about 50% as well.
Thank you, and I appreciate those answers. One last one for now, and then I can always do a new business item if we need. So the urgent care is really means a lot. I have a huge family, and sometimes something like that comes up and you just have to be in pain through the night because your traditional dentist really doesn't open up shop for that. How do you see over the next 2 or 3 years, let's say, how you're able to, and if it can't be an answer today, I can ask to have that on a future item. How can we encourage something like that that would make a huge difference on the, you know, Shadow Lane campus, let's say, or CSN, to people know between 6 and 10 at night, let's say, you start out. We're not, you know, not 2 or 3 in the middle of the night. But do you see that there could be success in the future with the help of the board and money resources, of course, which is always an issue?
Yes, we have a system in place, availability for walk-ins. We have somebody on call 24 hours, and they do the triage. Sometimes it's much more severe than just dental, so we partner with UMC. But in essence, right now, we have a working structure that can take care of people, although there's lots of room to grow that and make it a more robust system.
Okay.
We do also in the CSN dental faculty practice, we have the same emergency process and procedures for a patient who calls in the middle of the night and has emergency dental requirements or challenges. There is someone on call there also who will come in and assist this patient.
Okay. And just one quick final, and I don't usually even ask questions in meetings, so this just intrigues me. So how can we as a board, when you come back again or meet with you, how can we help you to make sure that this dental, the mouth, really creates other problems, and we know that. So how do we help you, and not for today, get to where you are? I'd like you to think about it, because this is important. And to know that dental health in our schools and all that is lacking. So what will it take in the future over the next couple of years, because it takes time, and maybe I can ask Chair Goodman to bring back an agenda item on that. I don't want to do a new business, but just something that she feels equally important about. So I appreciate the answers today. I think we have a long ways to go, and how we keep our students here, number one, how we fill some of your vacancies, number two, and how we look at your salary structure through what we can do as regents to make sure that we can get the brightest and the best to stay.
I would very much welcome to come back and talk about other business items. We've been working with a number of groups. I want to share information about our mouthguard program for student athletes so they can play. Agencies like Metro are interested in that because it takes the kids off the streets and focused on a sport. So we have a number of programs that are really positive programs that I think you should be aware of.
Okay, thank you for indulging me. I could go on, but I won't.
Thank you, Regent Brager. Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you. Those are always good questions that you ask. I think I'd love for you to do like the School of Medicine's did, North and South, where they went to the legislature. I mean, we have a shortage of doctors, and I know the gap analysis is going to show that for the dentists and the hygienists too. But I would say I'd love to see you over the course of the next 2 years put a plan together with all the facts and figures to go to the legislature, because I know we're asking, is it $20 million per year to increase our residencies, GME, graduate medical education residencies, because we know that's the reason our doctors leave Nevada. I was wondering why are they, if 50% are leaving Nevada, why, when we've got openings in Nevada? And especially, I was really surprised for you, Dean, to say that 50% of your hygienists and technicians and stuff are leaving too. So what is it? Nevada's no longer an attractive place to live. They don't have job placement, the salaries. I don't understand that.
Well, I think there are a number of reasons that they leave. We don't pull that information. But just from word of mouth, it's a family issues or family concerns. They want to be closer to family. Inability to find the correct position in Nevada. The rumors and innuendo out there in the community about Nevada not being, I would say, up there in the top 10 for health care and quality health care. And it's declined over, I've been in healthcare for 30 plus years. I'm an ultrasound technologist by trade. But the reputation, let me call it that, of healthcare in Nevada is not great. It just isn't. And it's declined over the years. And we're hoping through this partnership that we'll be able to increase that reputation of having good quality dental care and services offered in this state. And so I believe that's part of it. Maybe salary. We struggle, and we only have three vacant positions in our hygiene, just three. We've been trying to fill them for 2 years, maybe 3 years, and we're struggling. And if I can't get the qualified individuals to come in and teach, it's hard to address the educational needs of our learners. So I hope that answered your question.
A couple of other pieces talking about lack of daycare and lack of education. A lot of people are concerned about their children growing up in Las Vegas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions, Regent Del Carlo?
No, thank you. But thank you both, and thank you for the collaboration. I can see there's some nice chemistry going there.
Regent Brooks?
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. Thank you for that great presentation and the passion that certainly exists for collaboration, not only with other institutions, but with the community. The UNLV Dental School has been around for, I think it opened around 2022.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And it seems like there has been previous conversations about collaboration between CSN and UNLV, and it appears to be an ongoing conversation, which I think is fantastic. But what are there things that the committee or the board can do to help ensure that the collaboration at some points comes to fruition, in which you would like to see best practice measures take place between dental hygienists and dentists or folks who are over at the dental school?
I think continuing our communication and meetings with Dr. Marshall Turner will be a big start for us. We've not had that before in the past, and an active member of this committee, a direct connection to this committee as a part of that partnership is going to go a long way with ensuring that we are able to accomplish many of the goals that we've set forth in just this brief PowerPoint. So then having her as a part of that committee will help us to keep or stay connected to this committee so that if there are needs, things that we can ask for or things that we can bring forward to you, then we will have that connection to do that, as opposed to coming here and you're like, who are they? What are they? Who are they? So that's a big start for us.
I can't speak for, you know, any of the predecessors. A lot of this happened before I took the current position. But I would say a key thing is, amongst all the chaos and calamity that goes on within a unit, you know, some of the federal mandates have us in a tailspin. There's a lot of things that can distract you. So I think the secret for us is our commitment to this effort to make sure that we see it through.
Additionally, having a project manager that actually is connected to both institutions through this collaboration, who has already done the work to come over to CSN and speak with our program directors in hygiene and assisting, to speak with our dental director, to tour our facilities, and then bring back or to us or and to Dr. Ma what the needs are, what the challenges are, what the equipment looks like, what the resources are, you know, how can we partner. So having that for the first time, we've never had that before, has also been quite beneficial. And he is dedicated, Dr. Roxar Sadeh, he's dedicated to seeing this through and identifying the challenges and how we can meet, address, resolve those challenges. So that's a big help for us.
Thank you, Regent Brooks, again, for the record. So it sounds like you've been able to identify some challenges, and from the way you articulated this and what I understand is that this collaboration is different than what has happened in the past.
Yes, sir.
Because there are other things that are being brought to the table that didn't exist before.
Yes, sir.
What do you think would be a reasonable amount of time to work some of these things out to then come back to the committee or the board with a, you know, a progress report, if you will, of simply the collaboration itself? Not necessarily some of the great things that you want to be able to get done in the community, but really the administrative processes of this collaboration the way that you've described it.
I think our first step is the electronic health record. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, we're in discussions to obtain that. But to answer your question, 3 months. We're in the process of drafting an MOU, and I would hope, Dr. Wood, we have something to present to show all of you in a draft in 3 months.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
I have one quick question, then I'll go to Regent Brager. Financially, how is all of this working? I mean, everyone is, you know, putting the money in. Is anyone, you know, helping another practice? How is it all coming together? Do you have any challenges there as well, or is that moving smoothly, or is one institution maybe taking a bigger load than the other?
You know, finances has always been a delicate balancing act, and, you know, fortunately, you know, throughout the pandemic and all other things, we've weathered that fairly well, and, you know, we're very much cash positive, and we want to contribute, or as we have, want to expand and enrich our student experiences. This is one of the efforts that we want to proceed with some of the funds that we have to make an investment in their education, and the CSN students will benefit from that as well. All the while, we've leveraged our network. We are developing and have a pretty good network. The electronic health record, knock on wood, we may get at nominal cost. For that kind of software is a fabulous thing. Working with our private donors, as I've alluded to, we've had significant commitment from some private donors. So there's many people that are vested in seeing this through.
Thank you. And then with regard, I think what's really important is that urgent care program. That's just building on that, I think, is vital. Also, the dental lab, I didn't even realize how much of that was coming in from out of
great
the country.
Great expense as well to our institutions to have to pay for that equipment, those resources to come in from out of the country. A great expense.
And the dental lab tech, how is that program working? And do you have someone in the foundation office that is, you know, like, I mean, you kind of package this stuff up and go out there. It seems like this is something that would really be attractive to donors.
Yes, very much so. We're working with UNLV Foundation for this.
Okay, great.
CSN's foundation has also been apprised, and will hopefully, I'm sure they will come on board. But currently, there is no program existing in the state of Nevada for this.
And that's really what I'm keying in on is, you know, when there aren't programs like that, when we know nationwide that there's a shortage of these kinds of individuals that do this work, it seems to me that this should be a priority for our system, because then we can provide this incredible need. So I just think we need to be strategic and smart about things like that. Obviously, you've hit on it, but let us help you, move this forward, because it's those kinds of programs, if they're not happening anywhere and there's a shortage of that kind of person, those are the programs we should be keying in on. So we can have an offline conversation about that, but I appreciate your presentation today. Regent Brager has one more thing to say. She has to keep it short.
I promise. And this can be Susan Brager for the record. So when you mentioned child care, so I'm the chair of the Governor's Workforce Child Care Subcommittee, because we're finding people can't go to work or go to school because they have nowhere. Can we have a conversation, not today, but later on that offline, so that maybe we can work with you on this committee to find out if you have a spot, maybe we have a place to make that happen. We're looking to do a pilot, so I'd love to speak with you about that.
Love to talk further on that.
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely.
Any further questions? Thank you so much for the presentation. We look forward to some of those offline conversations.
Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, new business. Items for consideration at future meetings may be suggested. Does anyone have any new business items?
Good.
All right, no new business items. Public comments. Quickly, I'd like to say I'd like to welcome Regent Jennifer McGrath to our committee. Thank you for being here. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you so much, Regent Goodman. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're grateful.
Thank you.
Okay, moving to public comments. Is there any public comment here at Nevada State? Okay, any public comment at GBC? Any public comment at UNR? All right, SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers for public comment at this time.
Thank you very much. All right, with that, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.